What's happening, party people? Rise and shine. I am on the rooftop. It is September the 7th, 2021, and it is 6:42 in the a.m. I deleted the other recording I had because it was really cold in my room last night, and I couldn't even really think about what I was podcasting about. So I'm going to do it this morning. So on yesterday, woke up 5:55, prayed, journaled, stretched. Y'all would have been proud of me. I even did a handstand. And then I got back in the bed. We didn't really have a plan. So, as luck would have it, when Shari woke up, we decided we would check in with our head of the department, and he basically said, you know, check in and then wait for word. So to me that meant, oh, okay, I can go plan something. So that's what we did. We decided to go visit the Egyptian Museum yesterday, and I was truly excited because that was something I was going to do either today or tomorrow, but doing it Monday allowed me to get it out the way and really feel like I had like an extra day to prepare for school to start on this coming Sunday. Now, before I get into the Mall of Egypt trip, I want to tell y'all something that I learned yesterday. If you're a single woman, and I'm attributing this to the West, if you're a single woman not from Egypt, and you come here and you get you an apartment, or you're living on campus somewhere, and you come across a boothang, and you want your boothang to visit you for whatever reasons, to get to know him, to pleasure him, whatever it is you want to do. In some places, you have to apply for what is called a marriage certificate for pleasure, because you're a single woman, and single women here it's a thing. So you can apply for a marriage certificate for pleasure, which means you can have your boothang over, and if you so desire to be pleasured by him, then you now have permission. No judgment, not from me, because I'm not from here. I'm a single woman. I don't have a boothang here that I'm trying to get into my apartment or whatever, so I'm not worried. But yeah, that's the thing. So anyway, we're going to go back into this Egyptian museum visit. I was truly, truly excited. It's something that I think I've been mentioning. I know it's a part of my personal culture. I like museums. I like history. I like the serenity that a museum offers. It's the same thing like a library that I really enjoy about it. So we head over to the museum, and initially coming out of it, like initially, you see this huge salmon colored building behind this immaculately designed, intricately decorated metal fence. So the presentation is off the chain. Like, just even standing outside of it is a phenomenal feat. So we go inside, and immediately you are met with these huge statues. The building is huge. It's literally overwhelming because it is all so grand. It's colossal. That's the word. It is colossal. So walk in, see these huge statues, and I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I'm excited because all of my life I've been told that I emanated from kings and queens. In African American culture, Egyptian mythology and Yoruba mythology, sub-Saharan African mythology, are at the helms of our existence. When we talk about being the children of kings and queens, we're not talking about necessarily Jerusalem. We're not necessarily talking about pharaohs in that way. So get in there, and I'm feeling it. I immediately feel it. Shari's excited because she wants to see King Tut's tomb. She has this whole little Egyptian tour guide book, and she's reading from her book, and she's telling me all of these facts, 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 and it begins to interfere with what I'm feeling. Now, I am a feeler. I am emotional, and sometimes that trumps everything else. I'm learning how to manage it. But in that moment, I was like, I'm starting to feel something. So Shari then says, I'm not going to go there. She says, because it's noticeable from the time you walk in, like it's hyper noticeable. I wonder why so many of their noses are missing. Now, she didn't ask me. She just wondered. But here I go with answers to questions you didn't even ask me for. So I say, well, in my culture, my people are taught that the noses were missing because they were inherently African noses. They were wide. She says, That's literally what she said. I don't know if that's concurrent with something she's already heard. I don't know if she found it interesting. I just know I gotta, So at that point, you know, she's really trying to talk about everything that we're seeing, but everything is not in order. Everything does not have a card. And there's a lot to see. A lot. Like, so much that I might go back and just try to reorganize what happened to me yesterday. So we separate, and I began my journey because, for me, it was like an ancestral. I gotta see my people. I gotta see how they lived. I gotta see what was going on. And not that they're inherently my people, but Egypt is correlated with Nubia. It's African. So I'm trying to deconstruct what my imagination has been fed, and have and reconstruct it into a real experience. Okay, so I'm walking through, and I start seeing statues with names on them that I've never seen. I'm reading about dynasties, whole dynasties. So I'm understanding that Djoser, you know, was in the 12th dynasty. First of all, I didn't even know Djoser was a name. I didn't know Djoser was a something. I didn't know Djoser. Djoser is one of the pyramids. It's the smallest of the pyramids over here in Giza. So, and it's also considered the grandson. You know, the pyramids are, they use this masculine identity on the pyramids of grandfather, father, and son. So, once again, women are left out of this whole kind of thing. So, yeah. But I'm learning about dynasties, and I'm seeing all of these statues. Now, let me tell you another thing. They have excavated whole walls, panels. So imagine the best wall in your house, the most highly decorated wall in your house, your apartment, your RV, your mobile home, your bedroom. And somebody comes in and takes that wall out and puts it in a museum. But the wall is way more massive than any wall that could ever be in your house, that could ever be in your RV, that could ever be in your apartment, that could ever be in your room. It's massive. So think of like an Oprah Winfrey wall. I don't know. I really can't. And all the pictures that I posted, they do it no justice. I don't know why the camera cannot capture what the eyes see. And I know y'all are like, wait a minute, but it's a camera. Listen, what happens when you see something is that it travels into your spirit and your soul, and it's I don't even know if it's magnified, but there's not a picture that I posted that the real experience won't really hit home for you. So I'm now like really becoming a little disturbed because I've never seen whole panels. You know, when I went to see King Tut in Fort Worth several years ago, it was a lot of artifacts, and then it was a couple of sarcophaguses, i.e. caskets, And then it was the tomb, you know, it was his sarcophagus behind glass and you couldn't take pictures of it. It was just a big, you know, it wasn't that big of a show, but it was a big show for Texas because these things had come from Africa. But when you're in Africa and you get to see, y'all, and I didn't even see most of it. Most of the stuff is packed up and behind walls because they're getting ready to move into a new building that pretty much, in comparison with the African American Museum in DC, it's big like that and it's beautiful. It's a huge complex. So I can only imagine what else is about to be unearthed and put in there. So anyway, they have these whole panel walls with decorations of hieroglyphs on them. And they're stone and they're thick. And I'm feeling smaller and smaller and smaller. The statues that have been excavated, a lot of them are missing arms, missing ears, missing noses. Even one of them, the chest plate is missing. And one of the things that I thought about was, I wonder if that chest plate, because you would like to see a photo of what it used to look like, but they don't even have that. So honestly, a part of me was like, I wonder if they were breasts, because Egyptian culture also is, you know, it has its roots in mythology as well. So when you're talking about Osiris transcends Egyptian and Yoruba. Okay. Anyway, so you're seeing all of this stuff. Toes are missing. Patches of skin are missing. Eyes are missing. And it's on statue after statue after statue after statue. It's a few of them that are fully preserved, but they have no cards on them. So you don't know what dynasty you're looking at. You don't know who you're looking at. And you don't know the nature of the stone that it has been built from. It was a lot of that yesterday. So I'm walking and I'm starting to feel some kind of way. Not because I'm choosing to, but I am. So I experience the depth of excavation. Let's just say of borrowing, of taking, of digging up on the first floor. And there are several corridors that I go into. I turn one corner and I'm now in a room full of sarcophaguses, i.e. caskets. And I don't know what I was expecting, but y'all, if there is a sarcophagus in the ground, it is going to get dug up here in Egypt and it is going to get put on display. So I easily saw 80 to 120 sarcophaguses yesterday. And some of them still had mummies in them. Maybe about three. I think I saw about three or four mummies yesterday. A couple of them, one of the mummies had been taken completely out of his sarcophagus and just put on display behind some glass. Now, here's where a reality hit me as I walked through this museum. I could not decipher where the truth ended and the lies began. Where I'm from, we are told and made to understand that when race became a construct, then any identity of black race was up for destruction. Hence, noses missing. When race became a construct, I was told that any identity with blackness would be destroyed. So you start seeing statues with thinner noses, with missing mouths, with more Greek, I'm not going to even say Eurocentric, with more Greek and Roman influences, curly hair, whereas in Egypt it's understood that the hair was covered. You see it. You see the wigs. You see that funny shaped hairstyle on the Egyptians, men and women. So, you know, I'm trying to deconstruct it, and I don't have enough factual history in my memory to really make it make sense. So now I'm just kind of walking through and feeling. When I saw the mummy in the casket, which I posted a picture of, I could see her fingernail. And there's a whole story about, I think it's Yahya and Yahya and Tala. I could be wrong about that. I didn't write it down. It's on the Facebook page. They know their whole story. It's been constructed. It's there. But their bodies are there. Their sarcophaguses are there. The deities that were put in their sarcophaguses with them are there. It's the whole story. But to see that mummified female body, fingernail, face, hair, to see that in there, that officially put me in my feelings. Because the stories that I've been fed connect me. The stories that I've been fed give me ownership. The stories that I've been fed give me privilege. And now I'm having to walk through and see powerful, powerful, powerful people captured behind glass. Now, let me go back. Let's talk about how much I had to pay to get in here. The Egyptians have broken it down to a science, as they do. Mathematics is what they do. They have a foreigner price and they have a local price. The foreigner price to get in is 200 Egyptian pounds. The local price is 100 Egyptian pounds. If you want to take pictures without flash, you have to pay an extra $50. If you're local, you pay an extra $25. If you want to use videotaping, you pay an additional 300 pounds. If you're local, that's 200 pounds. So I paid 250 pounds. I was not about to pay $300 to be able to videotape, which might have been my downfall. Now, the videos that I have on my Facebook page, they're really quick because I was stealing them. Let me say that again. I was stealing them. So now I'm in here and I'm taking pictures and I'm sneaking video. I can't touch nothing. And I want to touch everything. I want to physically connect in the physical realm in my earthly body. But I can't. So I'm walking through and I'm seeing combs. Like combs you comb your hair with. I'm seeing jewelry. I'm seeing turquoise. And I'm seeing statues. And I'm learning about all the things that were given to the powerful kings and queens when they died. People would construct statues and pieces to protect the transference of their physical cells into the spiritual realm. That was a big part of being buried in ancient Egypt. And all of this stuff is amazing. It's really, really amazing. Now, I know some of you may be sitting back like, I don't want to go somewhere and see a bunch of coffins. But you go to funerals on a regular basis. You do. And most of y'all be like, oh, she look good in there. They did a good job of her. So don't let my experience keep you from creating your own. We need to start coming to Egypt. We need to start listening to what is being told versus what we've been told. Because the stories that have crossed the Atlantic Ocean are a lot different from the stories that you're hearing when you come over here. I heard one tour guide talk about, it was either Tut, I think, talk about how King Tut had married his sister, and this dude, British accent, is basically saying, no, he was Egyptian, is basically saying he looked British, that yeah he married his sister. Can you imagine that? You know, that's not something that we, you know, that is was acceptable back then. And I literally was looking like I was stunned because that is exactly what was accepted. People married within the family to maintain money status, and to keep their blood pure, to keep the family line intact. It is biblical. It is British monarchy. It is U.S. presidency. So, once again, black people are being attacked just for being black and having original culture, for having original ways of being. And like I said, as you're walking, you start to see things that don't sit well with you. You start seeing sarcophaguses with paintings on them, with people with thin noses, and there's no story. So my imagination, because it's super active, I'm thinking, okay, so I see influence. I see Greek influence. I see Roman influence. And I actually see these people imitating the culture, right? I see them moving into Brooklyn and opening up a Starbucks. I start to see paintings change. I start to see imitations of, or what to me are imitations of, authentic Egyptian paintings. They start you in the real place. You're seeing real statues, huge statues, like statues that are comparable to the pyramids. Like if you put these statues in the middle of somewhere, you gonna see it from far, far away. I'm talking about big, y'all. Big, colossal. And then I'm watching the tourists, and there's so many of them that just don't look like black people. And I know y'all are like, why are you so on this black people thing? I'm like, because y'all, we're under attack. They're killing us all over the world. They're starving us all over the world. And in the motherland, we've been colonized so much so that we're the bad guys. We've become our own bad guys. And it's problematic for me. But let me tell you how God worked. So I go into this room and there is all these sarcophaguses. And I finally was like, fuck it. I'm finna videotape as much as I can till they come in here and grab me. So I was able to record this little video where I say in the room, I'm in a room full of tombs. I literally knew that our ancestors were okay. Because they knew how to, first of all, the mythology is they knew how to go from physical to spiritual, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If you understand Greek mythology, then you understand Egyptian mythology, because everything comes out of the motherland, y'all. We didn't go into Greece and take them. They came over and took us. We did not go into Rome. Rome came over here. France, Belgium. Okay? The Dutch. Do not get that twisted. So I knew that my ancestors were okay because they knew how to set themselves up for proper conduction of the spirit, of the spirits into the spirit realm. So standing here looking at all of this history and all of these artifacts gave me a little bit of resolve. Another thing that I understood is that, for me personally, I am connected to Hathor. Now, why do you say that? Before I left to come to Egypt, I participated in a playwriting, festival of sorts. It was a 48-hour playwriting festival, and the theme was goddesses, and they took 6 playwrights, and we were each given a goddess. So they gave us all 6 of the goddesses before we actually were assigned a goddess. And I was reading about all of them. I read about Kali, I read about Hathor, I read about Isis, I read about it's one of them, I can't pronounce her name, but anyway, we were able to study them so that when we got them, we would have information already embedded. Now I'm getting ready to go to Egypt. I get assigned Hathor, and I'm saying Hathor, but it's Hathor. I'm getting assigned Hathor. So now I'm like, this is crazy. she's Egyptian goddess, I'm moving to Egypt. This is alignment. This is fate. I get over here when we do the Coptic visit of the churches. I'm not expecting it. We're standing somewhere talking about the mosque, and Hathor's name comes up. So the tour guide begins to tell the story of Hathor. He asked me, what is she? I'm like, she's the goddess of love and dance and makeup. He says, but do you know about her? I was like, I don't know. I mean, sort of, maybe. And I don't know, like, the story. I know that her words are I command. I understand that she's primordial. She's been in existence since the existence of time itself. So he begins to tell me the story of how she is considered the house of Horus, at the base level, but it's Horus. And he proceeds to tell this story that she rejuvenated Horus after death, or that he would come to the temple of Hathor to rejuvenate. And another story is that he was brought to the temple after he died to be revived in the spirit realm. So she was also the goddess of death and rejuvenation, which is what the Scorpio is associated with. If you read about scorpions, they're very associated with death and rejuvenation and imagination, creativity. So it's all in alignment. It's all in alignment. And I see so many beautiful statues dedicated to Hathor. And I feel connected. I feel like, okay, this is a part of my identity. This is a part of who I am. This is a part of why I'm here. This is a part of what I get to take back. So you get to find yourself if you've been paying attention. If you clear yourself up long enough and study right history and quit falling for this these jokes that people are feeding us, and understand that you are royal, not just because you black, but because you black, you will connect. You will connect. Greek mythology comes out of ancient Egyptian and ancient African mythology. I'm going to say it right there. Roman mythology. Y'all learning about Aphrodite? You're learning about Hathor. You're learning about Zeus. You're learning about Osiris. Get out of this stuff that you've been that you're being taught in school, because it's all only to keep you from right knowledge and the knowledge that is your birthright. So, while y'all are trying to even up the world and make everybody be okay, and not fight, I'm here to tell you, it's people here ready to fight you because they don't want you to exist. And some of this you can't pray away. You got to get knowledge in your bones so that when you stand before people, you can speak the ultimate truth. Am I getting a little radical right now? No, not at all. Not at all. Y'all haven't seen radical. Haven't experienced radical. But if you've ever been told you come from kings and queens out of Egypt, then you deserve to know that information. You need to make it a point to come to Africa before you go anywhere else. Before you go to Padre Island, before you go to Morocco, before you go to Rome, before you go to Italy, before you go to France, before you go to Venice Beach, before you go to Miami. Connect yourself. Because once you connect yourself here, you get to see how all of this emanates from you. And how other indigenous cultures that have their own beginnings and divine understanding connect with you. Am I saying white people are your enemy? Absolutely not. But the construction of your race as the enemy of the planet is a white construct. It is a white construct. If you listen to Dr. Joy DeGruy, which I recommend you do, turn a page or two of traumatic post-slavery syndrome. I'm rhyming. Y'all get it in you. It's not going to radicalize you. It just gives you confidence. If you lack confidence, or you got false confidence, if you run around like, shit, I'm the man, I'm the woman, get you some real confidence, some history. And it's a billion people out here ready to tell you. Go to Pan African Connection. They got the books. Go to Sankofa. They got the books. Ashra Kwesi and his wife, they come over here. They do Meccas over, not Meccas, they do trips over here. They do tours. Who is Ashra Kwesi? Go to Sankofa. Go to Pan African Connection. Get on a tour. Don't come over here trying to see Kamika. Please don't. Because there's no guarantee that I can get to you. Because I'm in the hood. And I ain't trying to spend a lot of money to get out of it. I'm here to experience this. I'm here to become a better teacher. A better liver of my life. But I have goddess roots now. And I'm very proud of that. That I'm not just picking something and claiming it. That I actually am rooted. I am rooted in the lineage of Hathor, and I understand that this earthly body, this earthly beingness means nothing. It's all about your spirit, because that will transcend as long as you have a God to serve. As long as you have a God to serve, and there are people out here who don't even believe there is a God to serve. And then there are people out here who believe that God is only serving them to be ready for the destruction of whatever it is that threatens their belief in that God. This is why I say African American people were kind of special, because we were uprooted during colonization to a place that has never been colonized. We were uprooted during colonization to a place that has never been colonized. Nobody's ever taken over the United States. The United States has not yet fallen. So there's a special something in us that remains powerful, because we're still handing down these stories. Think about it. You come from kings and queens. That's across the Atlantic. Some of y'all don't want to get into other religions. I implore you to study Yoruba. I implore you to study Santeria. I implore you to study other ways of belief, because all of this is rooted in history. And need I say it, there's a very, very strong part of Christianity that is rooted in you being subservient. And that's not who you are. And you cannot serve two masters. Am I saying give up your Jesus? Nope. Absolutely not. Because what I don't need is, I don't need all of that running around on the planet. We can't afford it right now. In these COVID times, in this pandemic, in the plague. But y'all need to study some other things. You don't have, you study it in the quiet of your room. You got a phone, just pull it up and read. And don't share it with anybody, because nobody needs your new knowledge. So that was that. It was a beautiful, beautiful time for me. I don't have to go back. The robbery of it all just, it confused me, and I don't know what to believe and what not to believe at a certain point, because once you bring the Romans and the Greeks into it, it gets convoluted. It gets real convoluted, and I don't understand it. I will accept, hey, I can accept that a Roman married a Greek, but I cannot accept that this was a peaceful takeover, because and you go to Greece, you see, well, you know what? I don't know what you see when you go to Greece. I know I've never heard a story about seeing a dead Greek in their coffin. We're not talking about Queen Elizabeth being dug up 800,000 years from now. So I don't know. So anyway, we leave the museum. I got to end this. We leave the museum and we decide we need to get something to eat. I am probably at 27% on my phone at the time, and Shari was at like 45%. So I'm starting to panic because I'm like, we both can't be this low on power. I need to find somewhere to sit down. We go to this one place at the bottom of a hotel. Now, once again, I'm from America, so you can walk into somewhere and say, hey, can I sit here and get a charge? And they're like, yeah, sure. Do you. Here, not so much. The guy is immediately on me. What do you want to eat? I said, I'm not eating here until I find a plug, and I need a plug. Well, we don't have those. Sir, it's a plug right there. Now, ironically, there were two people sitting at the table, so I couldn't get to the plug. But that's the kind of shit you deal with, is the hurry up and either you pay me or whatever. I'm here to protect whatever it is that I'm getting paid to protect. And that's all I'm ready to do. So I was like, fine. So we leave and we start walking. This random guy comes up to us and says, hey, if you go downtown, if you walk this way and you go downtown, there's plenty of places to eat. There's plenty to do. There's shopping, blah, blah, blah. And it's an Egyptian holy day or something. I don't know what he was saying. But we were like, okay. So we start walking. And literally, y'all, I promise y'all, we took 20 steps, maybe 15. And Shari goes, I'm not sure we're going the right way. There was only one way that man pointed. So she stops and starts talking to some more guys who are sitting out having their tea. And I get so annoyed because I already know talking to these dudes is not, it's just not always. You're going to get a little bit of honesty and then you're going to start getting hustled. So she's there for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes talking to these guys. And of course, he's telling her, yeah, if you go that way, you'll see downtown. There's plenty to do. But why don't you come into my shop? So now she's spending an additional 30, 45 seconds just saying, shukran, no, I know what it is. So we take another 20 steps, and this joker says, Kamika, I don't think we're going the right way. I said, Shari, we're not even off the block yet. We're not even off the block. All we did was pass the little Jenny's Beauty Supply on Camp Wisdom and cross poke, and now we on that corner. That's literally as far as we had walked. But what I realize is that we're moving away from the popular area. We're moving away from the touristy area. And she's getting uncomfortable. My ride or die adventurous roommate is getting uncomfortable. The woman who will get into a car with a stranger she met on the internet is now getting uncomfortable. And I care just a little bit, but I don't, because I need to go plug up somewhere. So I tell her, I said, well, listen, let me walk in front of you. And when I get to this second block, if I don't see anything, we'll turn back around. So she's like, okay. So I'm walking. I finally see a little tea shop. People sitting inside. I go inside. Now, it's dark. It's raggedy as fuck. It ain't no women in there. But they have these huge windows with no glass. So there are several escape routes. And all I need is a charge. So I walk in, I go in my bag, I take out my charger, and I'm looking for a place to plug up. I see only one place because I'm looking fast. Try to plug it up. And listen, the outlet that I saw, it was raggedy. I was like, I was ready to get electrocuted. I was ready to meet my maker, but I was also ready to see if it worked. So I'm over here trying to stick it into this plug, and the man comes, and he goes, move. He takes the phone and the charger, and he says, sit. And he points at Shari, you sit. And we sit, and he takes my phone, and he plugs it in. And he says, do you want some tea? Well, now that we're sitting, and I'm ready, I'm like, yeah, give me some tea, because I'll support you, because you're supporting me. We sit, and he brings us bottled water. No tea, bottled water. So I immediately begin my broken Arabic and say to him, basically, I have no money for water. Just bring me the tea. Now, it's hot. I got on long sleeves. But just bring me the tea. He's trying to explain, no. And then a young man who speaks English comes over and says, the water is complimentary. It's free. So I'm like, are you sure? Because I don't want to have to run out of here. And I even told Shari, if I say run, bitch, run, and don't look back, because she's used to looking back. It's what they do. So we are served appropriately. He has a young boy there who's about the same size of a Young Thug Mitzvah. I call Young Thug Mitzvah. That's thank you, Ron Amber Deloney. Young Thug Mitzvah is the little boy on the donkey who hit Shari on the butt with the PVC pipe. But anyway, this little boy is about the same size, same angelic cherubic face, but I'm already thinking savage. But he's working for his grandfather. He's serving people tea. He's taking things where they need to be. And actually, this could have been his father, because culture here is different. But this was like a 9-year-old boy, and the man that was serving us was easily over 65. Easily. And he always had one smoked cigarette in one hand and an unlit cigarette in the other. And he did this while he served tea. He did this while he ran across the street. He did this while he talked to his friends. It was a consistent thing. But this little boy is working for his chain-smoking grandfather or father. I don't know. But he's diligent. And he's working hard. And for me, I was like, it's either this or school. If somebody had given me that option, you can either work or you can go to school. I'd have went to school. For this little boy, that may not have been an option. Not only that, school hasn't started, so you're going to work. Well, anyway, we get our charge and we get ready to leave. And when I walk out of there, I give him a $1 in American money. Now, a dollar in American money is $16 in Egyptian cash. I did not look back. I just blessed him. Because after leaving that museum, I saw myself. I know this is going to be a little weird for some of y'all, but because I don't see a lot of women that look like me, I know that I've become idealized. So I'm either going to be what they think I am, or I'm going to be more than what they think I am, or I'm going to be way, way less than what they think I am. Did I give the boy the money because I wanted him to think more of me? No. I gave the boy the money because I wanted to change his life. I wanted to change his direction. I wanted him to think outside of where he's come from about black women. Shari said, did you see his face? I said, no, I never looked back. She was like, no, Kamika, you should have turned around. The kid was like jumping for joy. Like whatever she was trying to express to me, it made me proud. It made me really, really proud. Because I didn't know, I didn't even think it was going to do that. I thought he was going to get it and he was going to be like, oh, granddaddy, I got some money. But according to her report, it was bigger than that. And that made me feel good. So we get to eat. We go to this little spot to eat. We eat authentic Egyptian meal that is vegetarian. And it was great. It wasn't vegetarian. It had chicken in it. But I was like, I can make this at home. I love it when I go somewhere and I eat something and I can make it home. So y'all get ready. When I come back home, I'm going to make this dish. What was it called? I don't know. It's going to be called Kamika's Dish from Egypt. That's what it's going to be called. So we do that. And then we call her Uber. And we're ready to jet set back. We walk up and down this sidewalk, and there's a liquor store. And Shari, at first, she was like, I want to go to the liquor store. So I'm like, let's go to the liquor store, girl. And we go to the liquor store, and then she comes out of there empty-handed and then goes next door to the smoothie shop and buys her a smoothie. My roommate loves to eat. She's a touristy teacher who travels to experience the culture. Yeah, she's here to teach, but I'm realizing that a lot of people who come here to teach, it's really about experiencing the culture of being somewhere and not really having to pay for it. And that's okay. It is what it is. So I get home and I'm exhausted, but I'm thrilled that I got to go to the museum. And I'm thrilled that now I can go back because I'm here a whole year. So at the beginning, everything that I'm doing at the beginning, I'm going to try my best to do again before I leave and see if things change for me. But I'm glad I'm gaining momentum and I'm gaining favor with what I have in me versus you know, not versus, but what I have in me in conjunction with what I felt based on the stories I've been fed, the stories that I've read, the circles that I've sat in. Thank you, reciprocity. Because there's so much more knowledge out there than what you've been taught in schools and what you're reading on the internet that's not your history. American history is not your full history. It's not. It's not. No, it ain't. Said what I said. So that's it. I'm sorry I kept y'all a little bit longer than normal. This is great. If you're wondering what happened to the podcast, this is what happened. One of my coworkers called and said, "Hey, Kamika, I found your podcast." What do you mean found? Why are you looking? Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I really like it. Keep it going. But here we go. You know, Egyptians are very sensitive and you might want to be careful. Careful about what? What did I say that makes you say that? Well, I listened to the first one and then I pushed through all the rest of them. So I have temporarily unpublished most of them. And what I'm going to do is publish them one at a time. And once I get clear, like I got to get myself back clear, then I'll put them back up. The ones that I feel like I've said something that maybe somebody ain't gonna like, you're just gonna have to pay for it. Because what I'm not gonna do is delete any of it. I thought about it. I actually did delete one. And I was like, that's not the right move either. So bear with me. This one will stay up. This one will remain free. Anything you have to pay for is because I'm thinking, well, maybe somebody's feelings will be hurt. But they're gonna have to pay for it before they approach me. Because that means they... Because I don't feel like I'm saying anything that doesn't need to be heard. But once again, when people try to monitor what you're saying, it's because sometimes it'll threaten the well-being of who they believe themselves to be versus who they really are. And I'm coming from a pure experience. That's why the podcast feels so real to y'all, because I'm not going back and listening to them. I say what I need to say and I keep it moving. Because if I go back and listen to it, then I'm a re-record it 800 times and you'll never hear it. I know my process of creativity, and it's best for me to create and just put it out there. Some of it I will go back and, you know, go, well, let me not say that. You know, I'll say it and then I'll stop and re-record, because in that moment, everything in me said, nah, that's not the way to go. But for the most part, I'm just out here trying to line up how things happen, when they happen, how I felt about it, what happened, what I said, and connect myself with everything that's happening around me. This is my transformative podcast. I'm on top of the building right now, 7 o'clock in the morning. So, with that being said, just bear with me, y'all. Keep the faith. Keep me prayed up. I feel it. I'm enjoying it. I'm living it. And I thank y'all for being on this experience with me. But we're in a time of transformation. Get your spirit right. Get your soul together. Get your house in order. Gather up your temple. If you don't exercise, you need to start exercising. You need to get out and walk. If you don't pray, you need to figure out how to. You need to reconnect with whatever God you serve. And quit trying to build up your earthly house. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the earth is full of devils that can destroy it. But your spirit is eternal. It lasts forever. It is infinite. But if you don't lock it with something, then that my house is made of many mansions and I have prepared a place for you, that's not going to work for you. This earthly life, it doesn't even matter. You can write your stories down and they're going to dig it up and rewrite it. But the spirit of you, your name, your birthright is infinite. It's infinite. I'm telling you this because I've received it. I've received it through my experiences being here, and it's only gonna get more interesting because I'm about to start dealing with children. I'm about to see the, not the bird's eye view, but the worm's eye view of who we are to Egypt. But we belong here. We belong in Africa. And I don't mean belong like we deserve to be here. We belong. Our longevity is planted in Africa. Quincy Jones knew it. Did a whole album. It was a soundtrack to Roots. But if you listen to that song, I mean, if you listen to that album, it's bigger than that. It's about the Atlantic trip. It's about us before and us after. Us. Divest from your Western ways. It's okay to have a nice big TV. It's okay to get your money. But it's not okay to be all about the money. I know there's this thing about, would you sit with Jay-Z or would you take $500,000? Take your $500,000 because Jay-Z gonna sip his tea. But if you take $500,000 to capture people who you think are criminals, because they came into your land and were not citizens, how dare you? How dare you? Because you're still not a full citizen in America. And until we get America right. Anyway, get your spiritual house in order. That's all that matters, is you create your own way of connecting with your ancestors. Put your altar up in your house. I don't know. But otherwise, you're going to be confused. You're going to panic when you absolutely should not panic. I'm telling you this from on high. I'm literally telling you this from on high. So that was the museum. You need to come to Africa. Put it first. Put it on your bucket list. You can come here during the pandemic. Get your vaccinations. If you don't want to get vaccinations, you're not going to be able to come over here.